The government continues to try to hide the fact that they are burning up your earnings. Let's turn to a man who knows a lot about that. He is Tony Arterburn of Wise Wolf Gold and Silver Exchange. Tony, thanks for joining us as I get to fill in for David Knight, as you have. Welcome to the program, compadre, from the Soviet of New Hampshire to you. How are you?
It's good to see you, Gar.
Yes, good to see you too, man. Great to see you. You look fantastic. Are you at the Texas office or are you in Missouri right now?
I'm at my Texas office, and I was going to click on the link today and bring in my actual studio, but nothing works. surprisingly, I couldn't log in with my normal equipment, so we're talking through my phone.
Are you kidding? It sounds great. You look phenomenal.
Hey, good. It's working out then. And yeah, so let's talk about SWIFT. What does that stand for? It's the Society for Worldwide Interbank Financial Telecommunications. It's the backbone of the Western financial reconciliation system. And it's been weaponized over the last many decades, and that is blowing back on us. That's why you see the emergence of the BRICS nations, and now BRICS Plus, and you've added Saudi Arabia. They have 25 other countries in the periphery that are applying for membership. I don't think people realize, Gard, the historical gravity of the situation that we're in. And I want to bring people back to 1985. One of my favorite movies is Rocky IV. I think there's a lot of life lessons in that movie. It's philosophy, and it's just probably America at its best. You know, like that's the America I grew up in. You know, I was born at the end of 1979. So this is like right smack dab in the middle of the Reagan era, you know, and it's morning in America. But let's go back to 1985. They make, you know, Rocky IV is where Stallone goes and fights the Russian on Christmas.
Right.
And if you're in the theater in 1985 and you're looking at this, what Reagan called the evil empire, he only said it one time about the Soviet Union, we call it an evil empire, and it's the mighty Soviet Union. I mean, they were first in space, they had nuclear submarines, ICBMs, and it was a death struggle between what we perceived as capitalism and free markets in the West and godless communism. Yeah. So in that theater in 85, it looks like, wow, that's a real struggle. And we've got this is going to be a generational struggle. But if you were told, hey, this thing that you're watching, and this is such a huge event, you know, and the Soviet Union is so powerful, but in 5 years, it'll be gone. It'll just be gone off the face of the earth, and it won't exist anymore. And their currency won't exist anymore. And they can't project geopolitical power anymore. And they're going to break into 16 pieces. It would have seemed like the prognostications of a crazy person.
Yeah, so true. Right.
But that's what so this is kind of where we are now, Gard, is like our financial system and what we've come to understand as reality when it comes to our society and economics is all changing, but it's changing in these weird ways. Like you're mentioning that the SWIFT system is creating their own central bank. This is all the same thing, whether it's the Bank of International Settlements or the IMF, you know, they all link together. So we're creating a you know, the prison house financial system in the wake of losing ground and losing power financially worldwide. So I think that's why I like to talk about when I'm trying to break this down, because I want to understand, you know, what this is going to mean to us. And I just don't think people, even myself included, truly grasp the implications of how big of a change we're about to see.
Yeah, I agree with you, Tony. Tony Arterburn is our guest, folks. Wise Wolf Gold and Silver Exchange. Go to davidknight.gold if you want to use the portal to get in and get connected with the Wolf Pack. We'll talk about the Wolf Pack in a little bit. But it really is it's really been coming for quite a while. It's the Panopticon financial system is what we're looking at here, you know. And Jeremy Bentham and his brother were the ones who came up with the concept of the Panopticon, a prison with a tower in the center that could look out at everybody in a circle around them. They tried to sell the idea throughout Russia. Amazingly, the Russians didn't accept it, which is interesting. It's an interesting parallel right now with the BRICS and, of course, the ruble and nation states starting around 2008, 2009, separating from long-term U.S. debt obligations. They dropped the long-term bond. And of course, we've seen the United States bond situation has become inverted. And so they were prescient because when they saw what Obama was doing with the so-called American Recovery Act, they knew if they got long-term bonds, they'd be paid back with dollars that were worth less than when they first bought the bonds. So they started to get gold and something that would resist the inflationary pressures of politicians wanting more of this money so that they can expand their panopticon state on all of us. And of course, do it for our blessings, right? Do it for us, right? So this SWIFT thing, and this is very interesting because they just did their beta test, and they finished it off over the last 6 months. I was reading the Reclaim the Net piece on this. This indicates to me that we're going to be seeing people like Janet Yellen, people like Liz Warren, and so on. They're really going to start pushing hard, either this summer or this fall, for stopping the cryptocurrencies and pushing more for CBDCs the way that they've already been doing. But I think they're going to ramp up and really rattle those sabers.
Oh, I think so too. And let's not forget, even with the rise of like the Bitcoin ETFs, which I think it could possibly be a bad thing in the long run for Bitcoin. I mean, we're already starting to see people like Larry Fink come out and endorse it. Whenever Larry Fink endorses something that I've been pushing, I start to question myself. It's a moment of introspection and pause. By the way, Larry Fink just came out from BlackRock and said that in emerging markets, those who invest in gold are hurting their own markets. They're actually detrimental by putting their money in gold because they said it doesn't do anything. We could make that argument. I know that fiat currency does. It's destructive. It's satanic. It robs people of their wealth. So I think, you know, the establishment is at war with emerging technologies like cryptocurrency because cryptocurrency itself asks the question, why do I need you? And it's a resounding, I don't. The answer is I don't need the government. I don't need the establishment. I don't need the Wall Street criminals for money. We have a worldwide gold standard. We have a worldwide silver standard. We have things like Bitcoin. We have other tokens that, you know, again, this is peer-to-peer. You can choose what sort of token you want to trade in. This should be a free market. But the establishment, people like Elizabeth Warren, who works on behalf of the banksters, let's not forget that there's no populist, so-called populist person out there or progressive that isn't funded by the world's most powerful corporations for their own interests. If you're for the people, then you'd be for decentralization, you'd be for free markets, and you'd be for some sort of metallic standard in your currency of some kind. And right. Government involved. I think you and I would. We would intersect very well on that. I don't think you or I think that there should be any government involvement in currency.
And I, you know, that's a great lesson because, you know, I would run into traditional conservatives, especially up until the last few years. I think more people I've recognized, more people are starting to see the larger lesson that, I don't want to say it's like some great insight or whatever, but Ron Paul would discuss this a lot. He's like, you don't have to just abolish the Fed. All you have to do is allow for free market money, which is essentially what people did with Bitcoin and what we do with gold or silver or things like that. It often people would say, well, you know, the Federal Reserve, it's not federal and it has no reserves. It's like, that's true. But even if the U.S. government, the Treasury, were to do it according to the Constitution, you shouldn't have it be the exclusive money, because anytime a nation state is tied to the issuance of the only currency, the fiat imposed by fiat on everybody, it has an incentive to start printing up more money so it can shell it out to everybody, which is exactly what they did in ancient Rome. They would call the coins back, shave the silver off, as you know, and then make new coins and then reissue the other ones that were now lighter and claim, oh, they're worth just as much. So they could pay off all their fiefdoms and their different soldiers all over the place, all the way up to, you know, Hadrian's Wall. So The problem is endemic to any ties of monetary system to the state. That's just the way that it's going to go. And this is a classic example of this, because we can see just the last inflation report, right? Or price increase report, according to the consumer price index, which isn't even the same basket of goods as it was in the 70s. So the inflation numbers are much worse than 3.5%. That's for sure. But we know that since Biden entered office, and partially inspired by the massive CARES dump of trillions, thanks to Trump, we have a 17, almost 18% price increases just based on their basket of goods today. It's over 20% if you go by what the numbers used to be collected back in the 70s. So trying to escape this is really important. And I wonder, I'd love to get your thoughts, Tony, because we've got the election coming up. And prognostication is, you know, worth about as much as the syllables are worth. But I really wonder what the Federal Reserve is going to do here, because typically when they want somebody to stay in office, they will keep interest rates lower to artificially pump up more investment, more people bringing in employees and things like that, make the economy look good. That's going to lead to an artificial boom. And then, of course, once prices start going up, people usually withhold their money, and then you get the bust, and all those jobs and things have to be gotten rid of. All that stuff needs to be liquidated because the price doesn't reflect the value. Again, a reference to Wizard of Oz, you liquidated her, eh? All that stuff, right? Very resourceful of you. So, but the problem is now they've already got the runaway inflation. They've already got the runaway price increases. So what do you think they're going to be doing?
Well, I definitely think that the closer we get to the election, the more chances the increase that we'll see the rate cuts. They're going to cut rates. They're going to lower rates. I think what they'd like to see, Garden, and let's not forget, you know, we talk about the selection process, and I have been following politics since I was a little kid. I've always been interested. I'm no longer interested anymore in politics, especially our national politics, because it's just such a sideshow to what is actually going on. There's so much psychological warfare going on in it. You have to choose a side. I feel like I'm captured in some sort of mind war fulcrum, you know, all the time. But so I try to step away from it. So let's not forget that whoever wins in November, we lose. Let's just think about that for it. Is the establishment going to suffer if Trump is elected? No. They were able to jam down all these unconstitutional, you know, you're not essential, strip you of your liberties in 2020, destroy the supply chain, you know, all the things that happened, the tyranny that, you know, that under Trump in his last year of his presidency, 40% of all the dollars created were made out of thin air. So I don't think that the establishment fears a Trump victory. I think what they're, if I could paint a picture, and this is where my mind goes, and again, you're exactly right. We don't know. We're taking shots in the dark because we're not part of the cabal. I didn't see you at Bilderberg last year, Art. So we don't really know. But I think if you were to look at it from a standpoint of painting a picture, I think they'd like to see Biden look better, the establishment look better, so the economy's doing well. That way, if the sentiment in the mood of the country is like, well, we're still going to put in Trump, or there's enough you know, popular sentiment out there where they can't really cover it up. And so let's say he's selected in November. I think after that, they've had such damage to the dollar, inflation, the increase and expansion of the money supply, they're going to have to lower rates again. Yeah. And that's not, you know, Jerome Powell, raised rates again. They raised rates faster than any time in history in the last 3 years. And people don't realize that. It's the fastest rate rises in history. So I think the analysis that I'm looking at is that even if they're going to be lowering rates here soon to goose the economy, it'll give it a fake sugar high for a little while. But there's going to be a lot of damage done and a lot of cleanup that they're going to have to try to do by raising rates in 2025. That will usher in, I think, the banking crisis. I don't think 24 this year will be the year we start seeing and the big reveal of all the damage done from 2009.
Yeah, on.
I think 2025 is, Guard. And I don't, you know, it's really hard. I probably have brain damage from trying to think like a neocon globalist lizard person for years, trying to figure out where, you know, what they're going to do next. But wouldn't it be like, oh, you know, we were doing fine in 2024 and, you know, the economy was good in November. You still elected the orange man and it's MAGA. And look what America First did. And they just dump all the economic crash and the emergence of the BRICS and the death of the dollar. And they just dump it all in the lap of MAGA. I think that would be a scenario for the establishment to have permanent uniparty rule forever. And if you mean that's where my mind goes, if we're talking about finance as a weapon, are they just lowering rates to make Biden look better? That's an open question. Or are they just saying we want to make him look better at the time? Or, you know, we can always point back and see you were doing well. but, again, it all leads back to fake. It's not federal. It's not a reserve. And it's not constitutional. And everybody looks in finances now. Everybody looks to what the Federal Reserve is going to do. And that is not how that's not how this country was set up. And that's not how free markets work.
Oh, it's amazing. You know, you got the convergence of certain philosophical problems inherent in the state and money and things like that. Then you've got the opportunists like the Rockefellers and others who met at Jekyll Island, and then the people who come subsequently to that. And I was mentioning to David on the phone yesterday that, you know, I think we always know that there are going to be these political opportunists and they're going to get into these places or create these things. And then they're the larger opportunists who are sort of behind things. And they know that, well, philosophically, we can keep driving these people towards collectivism because they might want to be rent seekers. They might want to game the system for themselves. So we're the big opportunists here, and we're going to pick and choose favorites here. And I see things like the wars that are going on with Ukraine. I'd love to get your opinions on a couple things, Tony, before you have to go. First, tell me your thoughts about the Key Bridge collapse and economically how that might tie into things, and your own personal thoughts on what you've seen reported and so on and so forth, claims that it was sabotage. You know, Laura Logan has been talking about that, and any thoughts you might have on that. And then perhaps how these big forces might be waiting to see how things pan out with the Russia-Ukraine stuff and the Israeli-Gaza stuff before they really start battening down their hatches with their CBDC in 2025. What do you think about the Key Bridge thing?
Well, I think even if you take out the conspiracy, which seems more and more likely, and you know, you talk about the reports from Laura Logan, and we're at war, whether it's an external or an internal forces. We're at war, there's sabotage, we know that. But the real sabotage in our infrastructure comes from the neglect, from the abandonment of this country by the elite who run it. I mean, even somebody like Tucker Carlson has talked a lot about how does the country survive when the people that rule it hate it? And we haven't worked on our infrastructure. Our airports are run down, our highways are terrible.
And you have more overt sabotage, the shutting down of the borders, shutting down of the ports with the jab mandates, stopping Russian energy, stopping natural gas, shutting down the oil exploration. People claim that Biden gave up a portion of Anwar. That was 2/3, not what was agreed to. He only gave basically 1/3 of what was supposed to be drilled up in Anwar. They've been doing the more overt things as well.
Yes. Well, it just describes America as a pitiful giant. Like we have this, all these resources, all this potential, all this strength that we can't use. We can't tap into the ingenuity of the American people. We can't tap into what made America great in the first place, which was just getting to work and building things. I mean, we built the Empire State Building at the height of the Great Depression, Guard, 1933. I mean, just in time for King Kong to climb up it. I mean, we were right there, right?
Yeah.
I think about that. You know, we can't build buildings anymore. We don't. You got the perfect. It's like the perfect example of where we are. Regardless if it's sabotage, it probably is sabotage in some way because of the chemicals and other necessary things that move across that bridge. That it's, you know, you're something that Logan was referencing. you know, we have so much that's been neglected, so much that has fallen away over the past many years. And I mean, you look, Pete Buttigieg, it's this pothole Pete. I mean, his name is pothole. He's literally a pothole Pete because he couldn't fix the infrastructure of South Bend. And then they make him the transport. It's like we're living in a humiliation ritual by the elite. They're like, hey,
that's right. It's true.
Can we get a guy named Pothole, which probably has so many other hidden connotations, but we're going to put him in charge, Pothole Pete. And I think this is a sad thing to watch. The American empire is crumbling, and it starts internally. If you read anything, if you ever sat down and read Gibbons, you ever sat down and read The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, Edward Gibbons wrote 6 volumes on that. I tried to read the first 3 when I was in Iraq. And one thing I noticed about Gibbons is that he wrote The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire. You know the date it was published? It was published
1776.
Yeah, along with Adam Smith, right? Wealth of Nations. And I thought about that, like the beginning of our country at the American experiment, the Republic, was Gibbon's warning. This is what happens. This is, you know, the apex of empires. And you can follow along. You can see where Rome started to decline, what they declined on, you know, what was the reasons for their disintegration. And it really is harkens back to something Pat Buchanan said. The only lesson we learn from history is that we do not learn from history.
Oh, so true. So true. And, you know, I know you speak very fondly of Pat. I met him a number of times when he was up here in New Hampshire. My folks were working on his presidential campaign. What a nice guy. Great guy. And it's funny you should bring up Edward Gibbons because, you know, it makes me think about resistance to these things and how eventually people start to go to gray markets. They start to try to get away from these things. And there's actually a quote, Jacob Hornberger of the Future Freedom Foundation is going to be with us tomorrow. And this came in their email yesterday, a quote from Edward Gibbon. Whenever the offense inspires less horror than the punishment, the rigor of penal law is obliged to give way to the common feelings of mankind. So I think it just depends on how much people are willing to put up with and how many canards they can sell to people to say, this is for your protection. Oftentimes, I think there's an information problem there. The larger the area of control, as F.A. Hayek noted, the less information the people in one area have over the other area and that sort of thing. And the politicians don't have that information. But if they can pretend or make up a story about something that's happening here that needs to be taken care of by everybody, well, I'm not there. I don't know. And this is the sort of thing where, whether it's physicality or it's the COVID canard that they try to push, well, you just don't know. We've got the scientists here, so you better go by what we're saying. They constantly come up with this series of brickbats and bogeymen to try to frighten people about things that in their daily lives, they just don't have time to investigate, or in their geography, they don't know about. And this is one of the major problems with the larger empire of the United States. They'll say, oh, there's an emergency in Afghanistan. There's an emergency here. There's an emergency there. We have to stop this. We have to fund Ukraine. Look at the way they've been able to pull people's eyes, wool over people's eyes about Ukraine. When, as I mentioned to you, I had a friend in December of 2013 come up to me and say, hey, where are you getting your information on Ukraine? Because I was reporting about the Maidan coup. And he had worked for the Obama administration and left because he was disgusted. And I said, well, I'm just doing research, you know? And he said, well, you're right. And there's a lot more. Well, he didn't want to tell me anymore because he said he had a daughter. And I said, okay, you don't tell me. Yeah, I thought he was just getting dramatic. But there was a lot more, obviously. And so I'm heartened by people starting to pick this up. And it bothers me when I see the way that the politicians depict people in other nation states that are trying to pull away from the U.S. dollar as being the bad guys, you know, and they started to do this in 2009 with Russia. Of course, Russia was going to be working with Syria to get their pipeline out there. They tried to overthrow Assad in Syria. They overthrew Gaddafi because he was going to start a gold-based African currency. And most people don't know about that, you know. So I think getting the information out is really, really key. And I'd love to get your thoughts also about, you know, mentioning on the beat on the Bay Bridge thing before we talk about anything about Ukraine or anything like that. Tony, do you think this could have been, you know, I think a lot of people are going to say there, you know, I read something earlier today. It could have been China. Well, again, that's the book. That's the easy go to boogeyman. I don't see an incentive for China to do that. I also know that Vault 7 shows us that the United States intelligence agencies, if they do engage in this sort of thing, can make it look like anybody did it. So what are your thoughts on possible false flag and any reasons that someone in the deep state might have been involved with that? Oh, just lost your audio. Yeah. There you go. Oh, I think. Still no audio. Give it another shot. Still no audio. Hold on a second. I've got your mic thing is on here, so it's on your end, it looks like. Let me just double check. Oh, he's gone, but he'll come back. I want to hear that. And I want to hear what's going on at Wise Wolf as well. So while he is doing that, we'll check out comments from folks over at X. We've got, Ananda, yes, thank you again. And Tony's back. Let's bring him in. Hey, Tony, welcome back.
Is that better?
Your thumbs up, 100%.
All right. I would say that I would go with Occam's razor on that, Guard. I mean, most of the conflicts that we've been drug into in the last 100 years began with the false flag, the national security.
Oh, lost your signal there a little bit. You'll just repeat after you say national security. We got a little, it must be the signal or something. You just dropped out. Try it again. Oh, lost you. Still no sound. So, that stinks. Well, Tony, sorry about that. No sound right now. Yeah. I'll bring it back. And what I will do is actually do this. Hold on a second. Let me do this. As bothersome as it might be, I am going to call Tony right now. And we can actually watch him pick up the phone. And we'll put him on speaker. There we go. So let me take him off there, and he's going to join us on speaker. Hey, Tony.
Hey, are we connected now?
Yeah, we're connected. I know they're only gonna see my beautiful, beautiful long locks here, and not your beard. But thanks, man. Real quick, real quick move there, and it's great to have you back. Appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you. I think the issue is the phone's ringing. Like, my phone just keeps ringing over and over again, so it's knocking off my mic on my phone, and this is about the time everything gets started.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
Out to me.
Yeah. All right. Well, we won't keep you too much longer, Tony, but I really appreciate you joining us. And, I'd love to get your thoughts on what you think is going to, having military service, been a paratrooper. What your thoughts are regarding not just false flags, but you were mentioning a little bit about the false flag stuff and Occam's razor.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we've seen the last 100 years is a series of false flags to, animate the American people and to, a sense of outward projection of outrage. The enemy's out there. It's, whether it's the Cold War, which probably had some validity, or to something like the worldwide global war on terrorism, which I took part in. Of course, we're all the terrorists.
Yep.
We're supposed to be in this death struggle of civilization for 20 plus years on, and where'd they all go? They're conveniently activated whenever we put the boogeyman, but right now it's Russia and China, and the elites are gearing up for something, I think, a lot more cataclysmic, because honestly they need a new Cold War, but probably a kinetic war to save the current system financially, the dollar, king dollar itself, the military industrial complex. So anything that's happening, whether it's the Key Bridge or anything like that, if we watch or sabotage and cut, I think it's the calls are coming from inside the House, Guard.
Yeah.
That's how I perceive it.
whether you, the Chinese spy balloon. Why does the Chinese need a spy balloon? I mean, they own our politicians. They have our universities.
Exactly. Exactly. All of the hammering, stop the hammering on TikTok. Just ridiculous. You know, the U.S. government is doing much more than that. They've already been exposed years ago for doing that sort of thing. And they've already engaged in the propaganda of funding various social media organizations to make our messages less visible, to censor us. It's been exposed over and over again. And of course, then they've got the Constitution. I don't see any power to ban a company or ban the sale of a product. I see the power for them to impose a tariff that could be very, very high to make it tough to buy something like that. But again, you know, that's, you know, picking winners and losers sort of thing. But this is, I think you're right. This is a very, very troubling time. One more question about the Key Bridge thing, Tony. With your knowledge about deep state operations, we already heard that the black box recording stopped because they lost power on the ship. I think that much like 9/11, much like the airplane downings off, you know, airplane downing on Long Island, and then of course over Pennsylvania, the government is going to be very, very thick, and it's not going to allow this information to come out to us. And I don't know what you think, but I think we're going to start hearing a lot of stories. If people start to think that it was some sort of cyber attack, they're not going to allow anybody to consider that it could have been someone from the United States. And I think they're going to try to censor people. Maybe people like Laura Logan, if what she comes up with really is valid. What do you think?
Well, I think they obviously use the same power system as they had in Epstein's prison cell for the black box or whatever cameras were supposed to watch Stephen Paddock there for the hotel in Las Vegas.
Yes.
Yeah, they conveniently lose power to all these things. I think it could be a multiplier in a way, Gar, you're absolutely right, where, you know, they're setting up the stage for unknowns. I mean, what's scarier than the unknown? Is it China? Is it Russia? Is it terrorism? Is it a rogue element in our own intelligence? Is it Ukraine?
Oh, yeah.
Ukrainian element? I've seen, you know, there was a Telegram channel supposedly that was putting out posts about how they did this, that they were responsible. Now it's time for the West to donate more money or something. You know, like, they must put more money into Ukraine or this will happen or something like that. I've seen, you know, who knows anymore? I think the unknown, the chaos, that's the soil in which, you know, totalitarian behavior grows.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
If you've got a smorgasbord of things to choose from, whether it's somebody like Laura Logan who's trying to ask tough questions or follow through on intelligence she was given about, you know, foreign actors or whatever, and then using that as, you know, what the kind of like Woodrow Wilson did with the, wasn't 1917, was the Espionage Act, sure.
Yeah, goodness right. knows. I hope we all get prosecuted for that because, yeah, it's such a wonderful and constitutional thing. And that reminds me about Julian Assange. You know, it's amazing to see one of the most high profile guys who did the right thing, along with Chelsea Manning, doing the right thing, exposing U.S. war crimes. That is such an obvious case that the people who are lower level doing reports, how can we possibly think that we could defend against such a corrupt system? I think one of the ways is just trying to continue to communicate with each other in these ways. And Tony, why don't you tell people a little bit about how they can find you on your broadcasts, where they can find you on Twitter, and then let's talk finally about Wise Wolf Gold and Silver Exchange and what's going on there. How can they find you?
Well, the easiest way to find me is go to my website. It's Arterburn.news. Most of my shows are there on the RSS feed podcast, which is the Arterburn Radio Transmission, or Wise Wolf Gold and Crypto Show. And I have a podcast called Paratruther. I'll put out about once a month or so. And then we kind of dive into some of the things like you and I talked about. We try to look into the future, look into the past, and see what all this means. Because it's a computer issue. There's lots of stuff going on all in fun, Guard. But yeah, we sponsor the programs through Wise Wolf Gold and Silver. You can go to david9.gold or David for sure. No, nothing is too small or too large for us to handle. We're a nationwide dealer for precious metals, and we have Wolfpack. So that's a monthly membership program. Again, all those things that go through david9.gold support David and this magnificent program, which you're crushing it, Gar. You're in your final stretch. It's like you're just getting warmed up.
Hey, Tony, listen. I was going to ask you to do this. I know you got to go, but I was going to ask you to do this while you were on your camera. You know, underneath my gray shirt right now, I have my David Knight T-shirt, and I also have my David Knight pen down here. And I just want to mention, because, you know, you and I know and the audience knows, David mentioned that David's going through some tests. He's been, you know, looking at his heart and things like that. And so if we can express to people, as two people who've been just graced with amazing blessings from David, let's both say, as you sign off, let's just both say God bless David Knight and everybody there. And if anybody in the house is listening or watching, in David's family, how much we love and appreciate all the folks in the Knight family. And I think by extension, you are part of that family, and you make me, you do many, many good things for me, just like David. And I want to tell you how much I appreciate that too. But anything you want to say for David, as a, you know, he's away today and tomorrow.
Well, I have the same sentiment that you do, Gard. Thank you for the words. God bless the Knight family. He's been in anger this time of chaos and grief. You know, looks at somebody like for hope and for strength and for stability. He's the lodestar. He really is. I mean, you can set your watch by him. You just know there's still a good man left on planet Earth. So, he's very, very inspiring. I've had to be a better broadcaster to talk to him once a week or to fill in with him for him sometime. You can never truly fill in for David. Only try.
That's right. That's right. Well, Tony, look, I know the signal's breaking up a little bit, so we'll leave it at that. Wise Wolf Gold and Silver Exchange, David Knight.gold, Tony Arterburn, Arterburn Radio Transmission. Go to Arterburn News, Arterburn.news, Arterburn.news. Tony, God bless you, man, and happy Good Friday early, man, okay?
You too, bro.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
Tony Arterburn, a very, very, very good man. And I hope people will check out Wise Wolf Gold and Silver Exchange. And of course, go to davidknight.gold.
The David Knight Show is a critical thinking super spreader. If you've been exposed to logic by listening to the David Knight Show, please do your part and try not to spread it. Financial support or simply telling others about the show causes this dangerous information to spread farther. People have to trust me. I mean, trust the science. Wear your mask, take your vaccine. Don't ask questions.
Using free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.